It is Wednesday, February the 5th, 2013. I am Steve Gerwick, and today it's a very, very special pleasure to welcome to Gerwick.net former women's champion, knockouts champion, divas champion. Of course, I've crossed over into country music, and I don't know if you're aware of this. You also won our 2013 Hot 100 Women of Wrestling tournament, where you beat AJ in the finals. Today, we welcome Mickey James to Gerwick.net. How are you doing today, Mickey?
I'm good. Well, look at me go. I didn't know that.
Yeah, we allowed the fans to vote, put the hottest 100 women of wrestling into a tournament, and it came down to you and AJ Lee in the finals. And, yeah, congratulations. You were voted the hottest woman of wrestling.
Well, I guess your fans really like crazy chicks. And I think the fact that I don't look 12 probably helps.
And you're very beautiful. I mean, that always helps too.
And I did the crazy thing first, so I had a lot going for me. That there's all my little notches that got me just right over the edge. I won by one vote, and that
awesome.
Same person just kept voting every day.
Well, first we want to mention that on Saturday you're going to be in Joppa, Maryland for Maryland Championship Wrestling. You're going to take on Angelina Love.
Yes.
Talk about this event and get a chance of working with Angelina Love again.
Well, I mean, I love working with Angelina. That's catchy because her last name is Love. But the funny thing is that even when we were in TNA together, we probably worked together, wrestled each other maybe like 5 times. And in the beginning of this year, it seems, we're going to wrestle each other more than we ever did in TNA. So that's kind of ironic. But, yeah, she's mega talented and beautiful, and I love it. Having matches with her, just because I know that she's going to bring her A game, which they're, you know, and I trust her. So it's like, you know, I'm going to bring my, or at least try to bring my A game.
So definitely, if you want to check out this event on Saturday, go to Maryland Championship Wrestling on Facebook, and they're also on Twitter at MCW Wrestling for more information about this event. I believe Jerry the King Lawler is also going to be there.
Yes, I believe Jerry is going to be there. And you know, the cool thing is that a lot of people don't know is I started at a small school in Richmond, but Maryland was the school that I transferred to that really started to break me out as an independent star. You know, like Danny really kind of helped me along, and it's where I got my Ring of Honor break. It's where I got my TNA break. It's where I ended up getting signed to WWE out of at the time. And they had a school called Bone Breakers, and I had, you know, was training with a bunch of people up there who were mega talented. And, so I just feel like, in turn, I owe Danny and Maryland Championship a lot, because had it not been for my move there and them kind of opening the doors and, you know, arms to me, that who's to say, like, if I would have ever made it out of Virginia as far as on the wrestling scene, you know, because I still had ways to go when I transferred schools there. And it was where, like, I really started to hustle and then get booked more up and down the East Coast and then all over the U.S., and Danny helped me out a lot with that. Got booked for the first ever TNA show, and out of that, ended up getting enough recognition to where I was working for Ring of Honor, and out of Ring of Honor is where I got, you know, fully contracted underneath TNA at the time with that whole Raven angle, because he was working with CM Punk at the time in Ring of Honor. So, yeah, it's just kind of cool, and it's cool to come full circle and talk about Peter Roos a little bit, you know?
Let's go back to the end of your TNA stint. Of course, we saw you as the Knockouts champion once again, and you lost the title to ODB, and then there was all kinds of reports that you were not going to re-sign or they couldn't come to terms with TNA. Can you kind of describe what happened there at the end with your relationship with TNA Wrestling?
Well, my contract was up. You know, it was one of those things, and unfortunately I didn't, and I'm not the type of person who's going to go and bitch on the internet or whatever, because I think it's very lowbrow, and I think it's, you know, childish, because this is a business at the end of the day. But yeah, my contract ran up, and I kind of knew that was going to be my last day, in a sense. I was hoping that it wasn't, or that we would try to come to some terms or whatever, but that didn't happen. And it was a bit sad, because I really couldn't walk around announcing to, or even telling a lot of my friends there that, hey, this is my last day, guys, like, whatever. Because then, of course, word will spread like wildfire, and then obviously it's going to be leaked out or whatever, and I'm just like, I hate that whole, you know, whatever. But it made me a bit sad that I couldn't even tell my friends that it was going to be my last day or say goodbye. That was the only, like, bittersweet part. So yeah, but as far as like dropping the title, obviously it's like kind of in a way it kind of sucked because I felt like we were really just starting to scratch the surface of this character, right? And we were supposed to take this character and that they match actually, and actually build steam behind it and build some real emotion behind it, all the way to Bound for Glory with Jeff and I, or at least that was what I was hoping for. So kind of fell short and got cut short. So it ended up kind of getting the same result, or I'm not exactly sure if it was the same result, but we just got that matched way earlier, you know? So, but as far as, you know, anybody I'd like to, you know, rather leave the title with, it would have been Jess, who was an ODB, because she's one of the coolest people you'll ever meet, right? Like, she's so down to earth, and she's just real, mm-hmm. and she's kick-ass in the ring, and she brings her all, and I love her pieces. So there you have it, in a nutshell.
So I guess at this point, you know, you are one of the most eligible free agents out there. In terms of wrestling.
I'm an eligible bachelorette in the wrestling world. Yeah, I guess so.
I heard another interview where you were talking that you're not done with wrestling. There's a lot of things you still want to do in wrestling. So where do you want to go from here? What do you have left to accomplish in this business?
That's a tough one because I've been fortunate enough to accomplish a whole lot, like more than a lot of people. And perhaps I would be, you know, selfish in the sense to say like, and it could be perceived as a bit selfishness, but I don't really feel like it's just like not complete. Like I'm not complacent and I'm not satisfied with ending my career. Like that was my last match. That was my last Hell Dash match. Like that's not something that I'm not happy or satisfied with. Like, if push comes to shove and I have to accept that, then sure, you have to accept, you know, you have to accept reality. But I don't think that is. And I have faith that there's something else, you know what I mean? And I just love wrestling too much to just let it go, you know what I mean? Especially when you're like, it's hard too when you sit back and you watch matches and you watch like what's going on TV or whatever, and you're like, well, you know your talent level and you know your ability, you know what I mean, and you know how much the fans love and respect you, and if you know on any given night that you can go out there and probably do a better job than what you're watching, then it's a bit like, okay, like, well then, I mean, I know that there's a place for me somewhere, and you know, I don't know where that is yet. And obviously a lot of that is out of my control. That's the hardest part to kind of deal with. It's like, for the most part, you don't have control over, you can, you know, talk and do all you want, but the decision ultimately is not up to you, is it?
Right. That's true. It's up to management, what they value you and what they want to do with you and what they want to spend on you, obviously, is the biggest factor. Because, you know, you know, you have your skill set and you bring something to the table and you want to be paid for it. And you're somebody who's been in the business for, 10 plus years? And I don't know how many more years you have left. And you want to be paid at this point, yeah? So, sure.
Well, and it's not all about the money. But at the same time, you know, obviously money is a factor in all business. But it's not just about the money. It's about, you know, how you want to leave your legacy and the history, you know. Or whatever that you've kind of left. And you kind of want, anybody I think wants to leave on a high note. I don't think that they, not that what I've done or where I'm at right now is not a high note, but, you know, or how I left was not a high note. But at the same time, I feel like there's a much better ending to this book, to this chapter. You know what I mean? And I don't think that it's only got a chapter left for that factor at all. And I don't know. We'll see what happens. The thing is like you said, it does come down to stuff, and you do want to feel respected in some sense. You don't want to be slapped in the face, you know, as far as monetarily wise. But at the end of the day, it's more about that than it is just about the money.
Well, let's talk a little about legacy and the creative side rather than the financial side, because last we saw you in WWE, of course, you were doing the Piggy James character or the storyline, I should say. And I just wonder what your overall thought of doing that, because I know it had to be kind of awkward to do a storyline like that. And who was kind of the creative force behind that storyline?
I'm not sure who the creative force was behind that whole storyline. I know that Michelle and Layla had kind of come up with that Mean Girls character, or characters, I should say. So I don't know whose idea was the storyline. It was fine to do. You know, I'm a actress and a show woman first. And sometimes, like, it was difficult. It was difficult for all three of us sometimes, and we'd have to talk about what we were going to go out there and do and what they were going to say. And, you know, and I tried to allow, in some of those instances, to create real emotion, you know, or to go at it as if it was, this was real life, and they were really saying these things to me as a person, you know, like as the girl that, as the friends that we were backstage, not the, you know, to allow those emotions to kind of seep through to make it. Because the thing is that you can be handed gold or you can be handed a pile of crap, and it is what you make of it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And
right.
And so and we had this conversation. It was like, you know, we are going to go out here and we're going to own this and we're going to make it golden. You know what I mean? And it did. And it got so much. I think, emotional involvement to it in it, you know, and I felt like it was our way to really address and attack, like, bullying, especially since it becomes such a mainstream issue, of social media bullying, high school bullying, and, that whole thing. So it was really our way to kind of attack it, you know, and show how ridiculous and laughable it is, you know?
Absolutely. Last fall, you went to the Performance Center in Orlando and got a chance to check out the new facilities down there. And, of course, they featured you on www.com. And I just wondered your overall impressions of the Performance Center and their new training facilities. And any thoughts on maybe when you tone down your career, maybe going in and doing some training for the new girls?
You know, I would be honored to be able to later to do something like that. Like, obviously not right now. I just don't feel like I'm not in a place to try. I have too much stuff going on. I got music going on, and I'm really, you know, I don't feel like I'm done with the wrestling, and I have like a bunch of other irons in the fire projects I'm working on. So if to say, okay, I'm going to have to stop all of those to go train, I just don't know if I'm in a place to do that. Now, I can't say that I'll still be, you know, like that could change in a year, but at the same time, like that would be a huge, tremendous honor to cross over into, because then you're still giving back, you know, to the business, and you're still molding the future in a sense, you know, and you're kind of helping the direction of, for me, of female wrestling to make sure that it stays as a respectable sport, that these women are taken as serious wrestlers and not just as, like, you know, cute girls that can go out there and kind of wrestle. And, you know, it's just, you know, I think I worked very hard, and I had to wrestle with guys, and I had to do it the grassroots kind of dirt way, you know, and I got really dirty in order to kind of get where I went. And unfortunately, a lot of the girls from the locker room when I was there, or at least the beginning part, you know, they kind of came in the same way. Heck, me, myself, Jillian, Beth Phoenix, and Melina, we were all in OVW together, and we had all come from independent. Beth even moved to OVW without even having a contract and got a contract while she was there. You know, so it was a different level of really, truly wanted it, and this was something that we, when we set out to do it, this is what we wanted to do. You know what I mean? And
mm-hmm.
I think it makes a heck of a difference in your delivery and your tenure and your ability when it comes in the ring. Like, if people have to watch you get better on TV, they lose a lot of respect for you, and they lose a lot of that believability behind you, because it only takes one, you know, it takes a lot of time to build people's trust, and you have to blow them. If you're on television, they expect you to be a superstar, and if you don't blow them away out of the gate, then you're not doing your job. You know what I mean? And then you're actually, you know, you're kind of a waste of space. You are taking up someone's space that actually deserves to be there and can not only wrestle circles around you, but is just as attractive and has just as much to offer, except for she's 10 time, or he just goes and, you know, is 10 times better than you. So that's why I'm like, you always have to be at the top of your game whenever you're up there, because it's that competitive, you know. And if I can help, you know, prepare somebody for that, like, and get them TV ready, both mentally, emotionally, and physically, that would be awesome to me. And then if the result was that, you know, that they went on to become the next, you know, kind of diva icon, then you feel like you have a bit of a part in that, you know, and you helped kind of mold that. Like, obviously, they did most of it because it's them, but you feel like this indirect kind of pat on the back, you know what I mean? So yeah, it's definitely something that I would consider and I'd love to do in the next few, you know, couple of years, a little further down the road.
Now, one person, oh, I'm sorry, Mickey.
Go ahead. I tend to ramble sometimes. You have to tell me to shut up.
That's okay. That's quite okay. Now, one person we have seen get better on television is Magnus, and of course, Magnus has went on to win the TNA Championship. Your overall thoughts on, you know, his accomplishments of going to the top of the roster and becoming the world champion?
I don't know that I thought that he was good before he was on television. I think, yeah, definitely he sharpened his television skills while he was on there. But I don't think it was like watching him go from his like first matches by any means. He was wrestling for about a pretty long time before he came to TV.
Right.
That's the aspect I meant, like watching a baby deer in the headlights. But I think he's doing a great job, and you know, obviously I have a soft spot for Magnus, but I think he's doing an incredible job, and this heel turn has been amazing for him, and especially, you know, to be as the champion, and the fans are just, they're eating it up and they absolutely hate him. And that's when you know that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing out there. You know what I mean? So yeah. And the whole, the paper champion and the Dixie angle and the Spud, which is cool to see Spud in there with him, because I know that they've gone back and Nick Magnus and Spud have been really good friends for a very long time. So I'm sure that's exciting for him to have him in there with him. And so I don't watch the product like I used to. I haven't kept up with a lot of it because I don't work there anymore.
Right.
So I don't have to watch it. But I do try to, I go out and try to watch his segments, stuff, his promos have been on point, you know, like I think he's doing an incredible job, you know. And he's one of those guys that I think that you should watch out, like, all around for the future. I really do.
One more wrestling question. Jeff Jarrett has been...
No. I'm just kidding. I'm joking.
Jeff Jarrett is rumored to be starting his own promotion, a new promotion. And one of the backers that we hear is Toby Keith, of course, in the country music industry. And just thoughts, any thoughts on a possible, you know, third promotion, a major promotion that Jeff Jarrett might start? And would that be something that you might be interested in being a part of?
Is the entrance music to the show going to be "I Love This Ring"? You have no clue. They're not a Toby Keith fan. You have no clue. It's okay.
I apologize.
I don't, what happened? Well, you know what? Jeff and his father started TNA, and from that, you know, grew it to enough to, you know, where, and then when I was there, when Dixie first came in as a partner, and then obviously, you know, her and her family or whatever kind of ended up, you know, taking it over. But you can't deny the fact that he founded an incredible company, and he's mega smart. Jeff is so smart, and he's innovative, and he's got drive. He's got so much drive, like he's a go-getter. So if he has set his mind to it, whatever it is, I don't know the truth behind whatever that is. And if you're going to have, as far as a backer and as a partner, Toby's a massive wrestling fan. So if he's on board with it, I mean, it could potentially be something that's pretty awesome. So if that's the case, then kudos to him. And I think it, like, I wish nothing but the best for him. I really do. He's never been nothing but kind and generous and giving to me, even as Alexis LaRue. You know, so absolutely. And you can't deny that kind of talent. So if he's out doing something, I can guarantee you it'll be successful, regardless of who he's with. So, yeah. I will do it. I would consider it if Toby would consider to duet with me. Because you know,
oh, that would be awesome.
You know he wants to duet.
I'm sure he does. Absolutely.
Absolutely, he does not.
He does not.
He does not want a duet.
Come on.
He might if I show on my mad tap dance skills, then that could win him over.
I wondered, with wrestling and going into music, do you feel there's a crossover between your fan base, or do you have a lot of fans that prefer you as a wrestler, or are you finding that you have like new fans, or do you feel there is a kind of a crossover between the fans?
There's a little bit of all three. There's a little bit of all three. Like, as far as like, you know, this album obviously did a lot better than the first album that I released on my own, you know, because it had the label behind it. It had a radio push behind it. We had the music video. And it's just always better. You know, it's just, you get more steam rolling. It's like having the machine behind you, you know, you just, so that was definitely cool. But when I look at the number, like what my fan base numbers are and compared to the amount of albums I sold, I mean, it's not even a fraction, you know? So you're going like, well, where am I missing the boat? Like, what is, not that, you know, I did fairly well. I'm very pleased with what I did. But at the same time, when you have, like, between your, my Facebook page has, like, 800 likes and 800,000 likes. My Twitter is, what, 500,000 or so. So combined, it's over 1 million. And you're going, well, how do you encapture at least these million people and turn them on? Because, yes, of course, they love you and they, you know, as a wrestler, as a performer. But at the same time, how do you turn them on to your music or whatever? And I'm not exactly sure, except for I'm just going to keep plugging away at it and, you know, just make the music that I love and hopefully they love it too. And if that's all I can do, then that's all I can do. But I love the music side of it. It's a different release of my emotions. It's a different release of the different passion. Like, I love it as much as I do wrestling, you know, but I get two different things from it. I get two different rewards and feelings from both of them, whether I'm on stage or in the ring, you know, because wrestling, you feel like I'm this character. I've created this character. It's run on pure adrenaline and raw, like aggression, kind of that very aggro kind of feelings, but it's a very raw feeling. Whereas you're very, as far as your music, especially when you're doing ballads, but the music, you're just very vulnerable and you feel vulnerable, more vulnerable because you're opening your soul. Like, obviously, like I sing a lot of rock, kind of rock songs, and I've rocked it up a bit. But still there's, you know, ballads or two where you're really exposing yourself and your heart and your voice. And you just kind of get nervous, you know, and I hadn't gotten nervous. As far as in wrestling, I only get anxious anymore. I haven't gotten nervous in years, so it's like that feeling of, you know, oh crap, you know. But yeah, we'll see. There's also fans that, just because I've done a lot of shows in front of other, like I opened for Gretchen Wilson and Montgomery Gentry and Randy Houser, and I've done a few biker rallies like at Harley Davidson and stuff. And some of these people had no idea who I was in the wrestling world because they just didn't watch wrestling, but absolutely loved my music, you know. And so now I've captured them as music fans who had never heard of me before, which, you know, to me I found fascinating because I'm like, well, it's not like they're, you know, 10-year-old kids who possibly may have never heard of me because when they finally started remembering and watching wrestling, I was already gone from whatever they were. You know what I mean? So, I found that fascinating. But yeah, it's super cool because then you, I feel like that is like, wow, like that's a really cool pat on the back because it's not like they're liking my music just because they liked who I was as a wrestler. They genuinely just liked the music and had no idea who I was. You know what I mean? But my fans, obviously, like, I feel like, too, they're going to support. Like, that's the great thing about wrestling fans. Like, your true blue wrestling fans, the ones that love you for you, they are going to follow you to the ends of the ocean no matter what you do. And they will always love you, and they will always respect you, and they will always support you.
I just think that's awesome that you have your wrestling fans that like your music, and then you have country music fans have never heard of you in wrestling. So, you know, you could have got introduced to fans through your wrestling, and yet you have a fan base that don't know anything about your wrestling background, and suddenly they love your music. I just think that's awesome.
It is pretty cool because it's not something that I expected. I thought, I mean, to me, I guess I just, you know, not assume that everybody's a wrestling fan, but that's all I've known. That's what I'm really
sure.
good at. You know, like that's what I've dedicated 15 years of my life to. So for someone not to even watch it or know who some of the top characters are on the Aegis Baffle Man, I'm going, what? Okay. But at the same time, it was a bit rewarding in the sense because you do say, like, well, it's not like they're judging me. And, you know, obviously there's fans who don't like, because either they don't like country music or whatever, too, but they're fans of me on wrestling. And all they ask me is, like, okay, it's cool you're doing music. When are you going to go back to wrestling? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't sign the checks. I don't write the contract.
wish I did.
Yeah, right? That would be awesome. I would write myself the biggest check ever.
Well, Mickey, as we close here, we plugged you're going to be in Maryland on Saturday. In addition to that, what do you have coming up that you can promote and where the fans can check you out? And also, go ahead and plug your social media as well.
Oh, wow. God, I don't have my schedule in front of me. We have more shows, more music shows lined up. I know that, and we've been working on getting some of that stuff done and, like, our tour schedule and stuff. But you can find everything on MickeyJames.com.
Okay, fair enough.
Or my Facebook page, and that's connected to my Reverb Nation page, where you can listen to some of the songs, and that is Mickey L. James.
Okay.
I'm pretty simple to find in the sense of that, because I try to keep it simple, right? My name, and hopefully that'll be easy enough to find. And my Twitter is Mickey James, and all I can promise on there is mild entertainment. It really depends. And, yeah, so, I mean, I'm just plugging away and trying to stay busy. Obviously, I have appearances and some wrestling shows lined up. I'm actually doing my first ever seminar in Odessa, Texas, later this month, at the end of the month,
cool.
I know. It's something that I kind of am a bit excited about it because I've never done a full-on seminar before. Like, aside from going in and working with the girls at FCW, people have asked me for advice, and I've gone and rolled around in the ring with them, but I've never sat there and done, like, a full-on all-day seminar. So I hope I have something special to say. And I don't just ramble like I did to you today. just hustling and staying busy, honestly. But if you can go there and you can find any of those places, any of my social media outlets, and find my tour schedule, find my music. I do have a YouTube channel, Mickey J TV, which is hilarious. I think it's just really catchy. And you can find cool videos and my music videos. Somebody's going to pay on there. And so, yeah, I'm not that hard to find. Just look up my
awesome.
Name. Just look up my name.
Just Google her name and you'll find her for sure.
Yeah. Or maybe not do that. Yeah.
Well,
sure.
Mickey, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. We wish you nothing but the best of luck with wrestling and music, and we hope to maybe see you back on the big stage, maybe back in WWE sometime.
I hope so. That would be amazing. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Thank you, Steve. I appreciate it.